Holy Spirit, just continue moving in the Word today. You know, there's this that song, "The Place I'd Rather Be," really of this series we've been jumping into. I slow rolled into it last week. But "No Place I'd Rather Be." If you're in love with someone, really are in love with someone, there's no place you'd rather be than with them. Right now, I know she's thinking about Easton. Where is that guy? Right? But she's thinking about him. I know she is. She loves him. Yeah, everyone should. Anyways, he's awesome. But when you really are in love with someone, you can't think about anything but wanting to be with them. Right? That's truth. And today, I want you to hear that in our relationship with God. Because love punches sometimes back. That's truth. Love protects the heart. Love protects the heart. And sometimes love seems vigilant and rough. Right? Come on. Sometimes love is just tough. If you've ever trained a child, anyone have children or ever trained a child? How tough is love sometimes? Love's tough. Child training is a killer. Right? It shouldn't surprise us that child training is a killer, because self-training is even harder. And sometimes you're going to train yourself. You got to have someone speak rough to you. If you have a trainer in the gym and you pay him, all he does is go, "You're awesome." When you're like sucking down Starbucks and your feet are up on a machine and you've done no reps, you're like, "You're awesome." He's a bad trainer. Get rid of him. Just saying. Yeah, just ain't training me. But love in all its true forms are needed this season like never before. It's not easy, right? It's a double-edged sword. Love is patient. And we want everyone in the world to be patient with us. We want everyone, love is patient, be patient with me. No, he's talking to the church. I am the church. It's our job to be patient. Well, we got to go to the source of patience, but this love's needed this year. Love's kindness is needed. Love's long-suffering. So we're doing this Dear John letter series. We're in season 1, episode 2. I know no one. Anyone want to give a recap for me? Like, Pastor, don't catch eyes with me. Move on. You don't have to. It's okay. Dear John letters originally, they come out of a, "Dear John, this relationship's a mess, and it's you, not me. Bye." What? You know, maybe you got a Dear John letter before, or maybe you gave a Dear John letter before, but that's the bad version of a Dear John letter. Wouldn't you like to get a letter that says, "Oh, Dear John, you're awesome, and I really mean it"? That's the Dear John letter we want. And sometimes I've been noticing during this season, there's an attack on love. Love's under attack. And so these love letters, they came out, and Dear John is supposed to be refreshing us and recommitting us to love him, to love others that he's given us. See, loving God again, the way he wants to be loved. See, that's the key. I love God by doing all this. Is that what he asked for? No, then you're not really loving God. It's love is rough today. I might be a little rough. Dr. Heidi's in the front row to calm me down. Don't worry, she's not in the booth. She can get here quick. But it's honest, right? Loving God the way he wants to be loved, not the way that we want to love him. Right? And loving others the way they need it, too. Love. I'm a professional marriage and family counselor for a living. I don't look it, but I am. And she looks it, right? That's why she's the face of the franchise. Why wouldn't it's beautiful and brilliant? But half of our counseling sessions over the past 22 plus years are, yeah, but they don't feel love that way. This is how they're made. Love them that way. Really, that's a lot of it comes down to that. So we can say a lot in a minute. I'm not preaching on that. I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi, New Season Christian Fellowship, the senior pastor of this amazing place. There is no place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning than here. I like it here. I like to be here. Presence of God is here, and all of you guys are awesome. In the front row, just inspired me this morning to feel like I didn't roll up into the fight by myself. That feels good. I appreciate it. I want to recognize yesterday was a hard day. We memorialized Miss Mary Diamond, and it was a challenging day. Beautiful, but challenging. You know, I want to acknowledge that It's an announcement that's not on here before I start preaching. Mark your calendars for January, Ken Brooks. January 24th, unless you got something really incredible to go do, like, I don't know what that would be compared to what I'm going to say. The 28th of January, one of the most important men that God ever sent me in my life is coming. And he's not been here 16 years. And he's one of the guys that changed the course of my life forever with who he was. And he still impacts me to this day. And I'm going to let him loose behind the pulpit that day. And I would mark your calendars. I don't say that very often. We have swim conferences. We have big name people come in. I don't go, be here. I don't do that. But I'm telling you, this is when you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to be here. Lord, today I pray you'd hover above your word and help the teachers with the tiny people. Lord God, help us focus attention on not on what I'm saying, but what you're saying to each heart. Lord, you would individually do surgery on all of us this morning. We lay here on the table of operation and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in us like you've never had your way before. Like you've never had your way before, have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen. The Dear John letters, what have we learned so far? Did I have a slide? Is there a slide up first? Yes. Thank you, past me. God wants love, and it showed to him with all our hearts, with all our soul, and all our strength. How does God want our love? All our hearts. So he wants your heart fully engaged. What you ponder on most, what you consider most, what makes your decisions most, he wants the heart of what you do to be his, right? And then we learn that he wants your soul, which means my vibe, right? My emotions, the way I do the things I do and the talents and gifts that I have. He wants those too. He wants all my strength. He wants every bit of effort of my love. You ever been in a relationship where it's all one-sided? Oh, that was quick. See, that's hurt. You can tell. Ouch, yes. I remember that. Give me the mic. Right? Because we just all one-sided. It's rough. I wonder how God feels. The second thing, the people in our lives are the immediate next in the show love line. The people in our lives, you know, it's sometimes easier to love tiny children in poor countries with my gift box, but don't expect me to be patient with Melinda. Not today, Melinda. Right? But I love the world, and here's my gift box. Patient with Melinda. We should practice, number three, the stuff we already know. This is stuff we learned, right? Practice the stuff we know. Anybody have a hard time with that? Yeah. Just practice what you know, bro. Just practice what you know. And number four, the most important thing to win in the season that we're in is to love. Say, I love you. The Dear John letter, season one, episode two. All of us have seen this or maybe experienced it. So you watch, it's hard when someone passes. It's very hard. I submit to you, it's even harder to watch them pass. It's terrible. Ever watch love fizzle out? Ever just watch it? Someone comes to Jesus and they're on fire. They're in the front row and people are getting saved and healed and delivered and they're relaxed. And all of a sudden something happens in their life and that is fizzled out. They're not serving God no more. Their life's in a mess, right? They're all addicted to 10 times what they used to not be addicted to. And you watch love fizzle. Ever watch it in a relationship? It's tough, right? Sadly, we have to admit, we had clues if that happened to us that we were getting a bad Dear John letter. I was terrible at breaking up with somebody. It just was abrupt and done, you know? Not good. But the times that it's happened to me, looking back, I saw it coming. Right? Of course. I spent 4 minutes a day with you, and the rest of the time I'm out goofing with my boys. Of course. Shocked. No. Right? We all have seen it. It's true. Love could have ever looked back and go, if I would have or should have. Yeah. then that'd be different. If I would have just done this. But in order to get to that, if I would have, we have to get past it if they would have. I know. You got to get past the, if they would have, no, this is your relationship. What would you should have? I know, that's love letter to you right there. Last week, we also admitted this. We wanted a top-notch relationship with Jesus ourselves. That's what we wanted. We agreed that often, we slack in that. You can want something and do nothing about it, and still you're going to get nothing. I want a great relationship with God. Do you spend time with him trying to pray? No. How about your worship? No. Do you read your Bible? The verse of the day. Right. How are you getting to know him then? Like, what is it that you're doing to get to know him? Mario Party? I don't know. Mario Party. That's came to head. I was going to say 2K, but I trash on my 2K too much. I love 2K, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Okay, there we go. It's NBA basketball. I'm a junkie. Yeah, I love it. I'm a junkie. Sometimes, say sometimes. Love needs to be maintained. All the time. There you go. Love, like everything else, needs to be maintained because everything naturally falls apart. Dr. Heidi teaches us in Ethos Counseling. You can't name a thing on the earth that doesn't naturally begin to fall apart. All you got to do is look at our building. Andrew's like, Pastor, don't pick on my building. I love it here. Thank you, Andrew. That's all we got. Maintain this, baby. You know, but things naturally fall apart. We got to invest to make them not fall apart, right? We have to be intentional. Like, we got to put purpose into maintaining things in our lives, right? If you don't change the oil in your car, do it, please. Right, it'll break on you, and then you'll be sad. You'll be like, cursing the devil's not the devil's fault. You didn't check the oil. Come on. That devil? No, that you. How's your oil? So we have to do to maintain things, right? That's what we have to do. Say, Pastor is talking about love. Okay. So, dear, put your name in. Dear Giuseppe. To keep the flame alive when it comes to love, you have to commit to the long-term tending of the flame. You have to commit to the long-term tending of the flame. Say this with me. Keep the flame burning. Keep the flame. You can write it down if you need to. Maintaining real love requires both quality and quantity time. Right? If you really love, you know, what if Sue and Cody had an amazing date last night? It was like the best date they ever had in their life. Sue, like, she didn't walk home. She kind of hovered home. And Cody never remembers driving. It was just the best date ever. Like, it was a 10. It was 11 out of 10. And they didn't talk, but maybe once through text, maybe twice through text, from now till the wedding. But he gave her some quality love that one date night. So I know Sue, she's like, no, I better get some quantity up in this house. Right? Quantity and quality matter. Our relationship with God, it matters. Quality and quantity time. Dear John's letter is the first John. We're doing chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. My dear children, God's word to all of us, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. Who's already messed that up? Yeah. Okay. Strike. Okay. That hurts right there. But hear this. I'm writing to you clear communications so that you won't do the stuff I hate. Hear it that way. We're writing this letter. I'm writing to you clearly so when I get home, you won't be doing the stuff I hate. What do you mean? I'm writing this to you so that you won't have the problems this world offers you. I'm trying to help you. I love you. I'm writing this ahead of time to give you instructions on, I don't like this stuff. And if you participate in this stuff, life's going to be a wreck and a misery, and you keep it up, you're never even going to see me again. Like, I love you so much, I'm trying to write out clearly, like, these are my boundaries. I will not. And so God has boundaries. They're big. His love's unconditional, but our love's very conditional of him. Don't ask me to do anything I don't want to do. It's not love, right? Doing stuff that someone you love hates isn't love. Right? Anyone ever raise children again? Anyone ever have one, at least one of your children or any of your children? Don't look if they're here, like just do this. That you thought for a second, the only way to get them to do what I want is just say the opposite. Oh, I heard that. I see that hand, right? Doing stuff that the one we love hates isn't love. Sin is the stuff God hates. I know the world wants to tell us it doesn't exist. He plainly told us to keep love alive and stop self-sabotaging our love. It says this, but if anyone does sin, thank God, that's best. Thank you. I'm thankful all the time. When I get to my lowest, I'm thankful not what I used to be before Jesus. Like to me, that's where I go, oh man, I'm so grateful for that. I was, and I lived that way, and you did this for me. Sometimes you have to just remember that. When the world's falling around, remember what he did for you. Right? We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ. Christ, the one who is truly righteous, he himself, the sacrifice that atones for our sin. Boom. But the problem is we have to own when it's our sin and give it to him. I know that we are good humans at this. Pointing out other people's sins is super easy. Where everyone else could fix and make the world a better place for me, I can get a list together. But this is the kind of love letter that's supposed to be privately read ourselves and let however he's saying, dear John, to you be heard. Right? That's how it is. The sacrifice that atones for our sin, and not only for our sins, but for the rest of all the world. It's not, atonement for sin is not for a race. It's not for a religion. It's all who want to take part in a relationship with Jesus. It's not Israel anymore. It's all of us, our spiritual Israel, whosoever will. Doesn't matter your race, creed, color, or original religious affiliation. Give him your heart, your strength, and your soul. That's what he's looking for. And that's good news. Everyone ought to know that, right? Pastor, I'm going to paraphrase that little verse right here. Dear New Season Christian Fellowship, dear Bob, Jeff, Jim, Linda, and little Peanut, I'm writing to you. So this is how I hear it. I'm writing to you so you won't mess up. But when you do, remember that Jesus has done for you, and then go tell everyone. That's the Pastor Sean paraphrase Bible. I'm writing to you so you don't mess up. I'm like, if you house sit for me ever, there'll be a list of instructions so you don't mess up. If I come home and my flowers are dead, you won't never house sit for me again. Nana. There's a list of instructions, right? There's a little thing that, you know, she's like, I know it's sunset. I got to go walk. Right? I'm writing to you some things so you won't mess up. But when you do, when you kill a flower or two, just remember everything Jesus done for you. So how do you know that you really love him? Yeah. How do you know if someone else really may know God? 1 John, in our series, chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. I'm using the New Living Translation at times in this and some amplified just because. And we can be sure that we know him. We can be positive, Miss Blanche. We could be positive if we know him if. Ready? If we obey his commandments. Why is he, what's he saying? He goes, it's truly, you know if someone loves you if they're really doing the love that they're supposed to be doing. You'll see it. If the list is not, I looked at the list, but the flowers are dead, the dog's dead, and actually, I decided not to even flush the toilets while you're gone. I love you. You didn't obey the list, Nana. Right. Say this, I got to practice love his way. Yeah. If someone claims I know God but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. I didn't write it. And is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. I'm going to confess it for everybody, something that Dr. Hardy already knows. I don't love making the bed. It doesn't make me giggle. I don't get special pleasure. Wow, making the bed is just like walking to a son's game. It's just fantastic. No. You know why I make the bed? Because I love her. That's my motivation. Right? It's not an obedient commandment. She didn't say, I command thou to make my bed, or that I shall not love thee. No. She doesn't do that to me, but I know what love is for her, no matter how I feel about it. Those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So far in season one, Dear John Letters, how to prevent relationship drift. Ready? One, know him. Give him quality and quantity of time. You want to drift from God? Give him time. Give him quiet time. Give him alone time. Give him corporate time. Give him time. And then set time aside to do it really well. Not like, you know, yeah, I'm at church, but I'm also, you know, do-do-do, Facebook. Oh, latest football score, do-do-do. I'm here, though. But you know what? I don't hear from God. You know, Pastor, I need to get a counseling appointment because I'm not hearing from God. Do-do-do. What you hearing from? I was talking about him all service. He actually was reading his letters to us. Just saying. Prevent relationship drift. Know him. Give him some quality of contact. Then number two, show him you love him by doing what pleases him. Show him you love him. Do all the things he's asked for. I'm simple. I like hugs and food. Yeah, woo, hugs and food. I am easy, right? Do the things he's asked for. It's essential in order to be a dear church. If we never do anything that shows dearness, why would we be his dear church? If you're ornery all the time in your relationship with God, why does he want to spend time with you? Oh, life is hard. Well, did you make those decisions? I'll be with you. But remember we learned last week, there's no darkness in God. Sometimes in our decisions, there's all sorts of darkness. Right? Be a dear someone who's dearly trying to get closer. Right? Say, I am the church. That's what I want. 1 John 2, 7-8. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one that you have heard from the very beginning. Stuff you heard before. Here he is again. He's reinforcing. Hey, remember what you already heard? Yeah, do it. And then later on in the letter, he says, remember what you already heard? Yeah, do it. Remember what you, yeah, do it. Remember what you read? Yeah, do it. Remember that revelation you had, you wrote down in your journal? Yeah, do that. How often? Frequently. Right? This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard from before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived this truth of this commandment and also Jesus lived the truth of this commandment and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. All the people that have gone before us, there's a list. Their love, and they spread the gospel. But when I read this, I go, the light's already shining. I can't even look at the news without darkness over invading my soul. The weight of the pressure of our current culture and society seems way dark. Yeah, and he said, you're looking at the wrong stuff. Remember what Christian used to be till I ran into Jesus? Light wins, plus one. Remember what Jordan used to be before he ran into Jesus? Light wins, plus two. Remember what Melinda used to look like? Light wins, plus three. Remember what Cody used to look like? Light wins, plus four. Light wins. Light is winning. We got to tap back into the source. We're supposed to, light conquers darkness. Darkness does not conquer light. But we live and we're conquered. We live like we're conquered. Oh, darkness. No, no, no. Don't put your light under a bushel. Not during dark season. What am I supposed to do? Love. Well, love them. Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's patience. That's where he starts with it. Right? Love. Truth. Eternal. Darkness began disappearing the moment he started conquering souls. Jesus started conquering souls. He came down. The moment he came down, light began to win. And it's still winning today. That's the truth. Life is still winning. You want proof? I have a slide for this. I think I have proof. Did I make a slide? There it is. Your proof that life is winning. Your proof that light is winning. That's the truth. Because your story is still being written. And light wins. So we got to continue to grow and show ourselves, right? Can you say this with me? Say, Jesus is talking to me, not you. Okay, good. Glad you got that. Now, it's time to brighten up the world because it's gloomy, right? When I wrote the term down, I heard brighten up. I flashed back to being raised in an Italian-American home. Brighten up was never said in a nice, sweet way. It was, brighten up! Kind of like you just did something dumb. You did something dumb, brighten up. And I could almost feel a cuff in the back of my head. Poof! Brighten up! I didn't know glue could go in the toaster. Okay, I'll brighten up. You know, I didn't do that, by the way. I'm just saying. No, no. That's not one of my dumb things. So I'm not trying to say it aggressively. But it's time to brighten up. It really is. It really is. 1 John 2:9-11. If anyone claims I'm living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. This is going to sting in ways I wish it didn't. Democrats and Republicans, love your brother. Trust me, I'm a conservative as you can probably get. Democrats and Republicans, you still have to love your brother. That's the more important thing. Love your brother over your politics. I know. I'm looking around, like kind of looking around. I'm not looking at Dr. Heidi at all. So, anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Be careful to build in people and not break down the relationship with God. If they're further away from God because you're in your life, you didn't do your job. That's not the job. Chase them away from Jesus, you know. The few, the proud. No. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Say, he is. Talking about church folk. Right here. This is a letter to the church. This is to church folk. This isn't to the general Walmart population right now. On GPS, it shows we're at Walmart, but we're not. Right. His real kids listen, and his real kids do. God loves all his kids, so please stop hating on them. God loves all his kids, so stop hating on them. Don't contribute to the darkness. That's not our job. It's not our job. Can you say this? Thank God. Pastor's closing soon. Okay. 1 John 2:12. I'm writing to you, little children, believers, dear ones, because your sins, relax, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake, and you have been pardoned and released from spiritual debt through his name. Wow, that's love. I didn't deserve none of that. I deserved absolutely zero of that. I was talking to someone today, this week, in counseling, and they were saying to me something they did in their childhood that broke the law. And I chuckled. And they go, what? I go, You got caught. I didn't. I know better than you. I did the same thing, bro. The stuff I've been forgiven for is amazing. I told him, he goes, yeah, did you grow up in the church? I said, let me tell you that I had nuns that thought I was the Antichrist. I'm serious. I walk by, I see him get the rosary going, oh, that Kaposi's in the hallway. I felt his presence. I'm so grateful for Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. You've been pardoned for his name's sake because you have confessed his name, believing in him as Savior. In him as Savior. I'm writing to you, fathers. Those believers who are spiritually mature. See, if I say if you're spiritually mature and you raise your hand, then you're prideful. But if you're spiritually mature, you know who I'm talking to. If you're a father of any kind or a mother of any kind, he's talking to us. And sometimes fathers and mothers never really birth their own babies, but they're fathers and their mothers. Right. I'm writing to you fathers who are spiritually mature because you know him who existed from the beginning. Fathers have a lot of weight on their shoulders. And instead of bagging on them, let's pray for them. If you know some fathers that maybe haven't been doing a great job, pray for them. You have some fathers that are doing a great job, pray for them and encourage them and let them know. Like, encourage the fathers like never before this season. Why? Because fathers are supposed to be leading in love, and we're the ones that are probably doing the worst job. I know. Thank you, Ed. Sometimes. I'm writing to you, fathers, those who are spiritually mature, because you know him. And I'm writing to you, young men, those believers who are growing. Anybody growing? Anybody serving Jesus over 25 years? The rest of us, he's talking right here. We're young men. I hope 30 plus for me. I still consider myself. It's tough to look in the mirror and not only see, how did you get so chunky? But where did that gray come from, bro? You look terrible for 30.
Dang it,
that's how I feel. That's how I feel. Dude, I feel 30. Mark, do you feel your age? You don't look your age, but do you feel your age? No, you look yourself and go, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it depends. You get off a roof and go, oh, yeah, I feel 30. You know. I'm writing to you, young men, those believers who are growing in spiritual maturity. Say, I am going to keep growing. Because you have been victorious and have overcome the evil one. Anybody have an experience since you become a Christian that seems so hard, you didn't know how you're going to get past it, and God did something for you? You're going to have those. The world's full of pressure. Right? He says, you've been victorious. Some of you guys, I'm so proud, especially the guys in this church, but the ladies that I know portions of their lives. And the times that you have said to me, I've turned down sin so many chances this week to really blow it, and I didn't. And most of the people I know in relationship with, they blow it sometimes, but they turn it down 1,000 more than they ever used to. That's victorious. Well, I messed up in May. Okay, how you doing in June, July, and August? I'm doing pretty good. Man, that's victory. I've written to you children, those who are new believers, those who are spiritually immature, because you've come to know the Father. Jeff, it's nice to have you on the ride. I have written to you fathers because you know him who exists from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong and vigorous. And the word of God, say, remains in you. You want to stay in love with God? You got to remain in the word. And that's not easy to do because all of us get really tired at night and you think you're going to read through the Bible in a year and you can't get past Leviticus. You're like, what? They're killing sheep again? And what do you got to do with the entrails? Oh, man, right? Everyone, right? You tried it and you get through Leviticus. I mean, you got all the way through Leviticus. You're like, yeah, I did. Like, yeah. Most are like, yeah, move on, Pastor. It's not about cramming in information. It's about quality and quantity time with the one you love. Quality and quantity time with the one you love. jump into something and go, I'm cozy in with God right now. I have a little minute. Here's my chai latte. Here's my blanket, right? My phone's on airplane mode. In the other room, I told everybody, don't bother me for an hour. Why? Because I want to be with the one I love. How do you do it, Pastor? Start with his word. Start right there. The word of God should remain in this. And you have been victorious over the evil one by accepting Jesus as Savior. God's counting on those kind of folks, right? He's putting his weight into our obedience that we're going to change the world. But we can't do it without love. And we can't have love without showing it. And if it's not shown to God, we're not getting from God and showing God the way he wants, then we're not going to show those around us the way that they need to be loved. And the world's going to go right to hell where it's headed anyways. Love can change the name of that game. Love breaks that cycle. Light wins, right? So, dear church, don't compromise your relationship during this season. Don't compromise your relationship. If it's priority, make it priority. Dear church, keep knowing him. Dear church, keep growing in him. Dear church, keep showing him. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Say, dear church. Dear church, do not love the world of sin. Sin that opposes God's and his precepts. No matter what they say is good. I know this is hard. No matter what they say, the world says, you consider the world says. Whatever they say is good or bad or ugly has not a matter of fact in God's mind at all. Doesn't matter what they say. On that difficult day that you may have to stand before the Creator, if you come in with, well, they said, you know, I just picture the original Willy Wonka, you know, the bad egg and the girl, here she goes, wrong answer. Yeah. Do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precepts, nor also don't love the things that are in the world. When it comes to love, God's got to be first and he's got to be highest. Yeah. He's the only one that deserves to be first and highest. He has to be. And if he's not, he's not loved. And I guarantee each one of us can go, oh, I can take that relationship a notch up. I can take that relationship a notch up. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust and sensual cravings of the flesh, and the lust of longing of the eyes, sexual and covetousness and greed, those kind of things, and boastful pride. Remember, I didn't want to preach this series because of pride. Pastor Sean Capozzi has never repeated a sermon series in his whole life. Deal with that. Now you deal with that. I want to talk about the love letters again. Oh, Lord, I'll have to eat humble pie. Yeah, a big old dose. And also, his word cuts like a two-edged sword. So as I'm carving it up for you, it's carving right into me. So this was not an easy series to pump out. But I felt like when I was up north, I felt like the Lord said, I'm watching my bride die because she's not loving me. Holy crap. What do I do? Talk to him. Talk to him. For all that is in the world, the lust, the sensual cravings, boastful pride, pretentious confidence in one's own resources. Yeah. Say America. Pretentious confidence in one's own resources and stability of earthly things. These do not come from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away. The world is passing away. That's a fact. And with it, the lusts and shameful pursuits of ungodly longings. We've all had to deal with that. We all see it around. It controls most of the world, right? And we have issues at times, but he's made a way, right? We don't pursue those things more. We don't value those things. Our value system is completely different once you come to Jesus. Like, it changes your values, you know? It changes your values. What's important just becomes what's important to him, because I'm in love with him, the rest of my soul. What he thinks is important is what's important. Why? Because I'm in love. And he loved me enough to rescue me from the stuff that wasn't important, that was actually killing me, my toxic living. He's removed that. And occasionally I may get some slime on my toe, but I don't live there no more. I don't live there no more. The one who does the will of God and carries out his purposes will live forever. I wrote this clever note. Check the time here. I appreciate you, dude. Hey, this is what I want to say, I guess, in my closing. I know that the rest of this chapter would be good that you read it. I'm not going to cover it this morning. Please read the rest yourself. Don't speed through it. I'd be speeding through it right now. It's like, I got you out the information. Pastor, I did it. I did a whole chapter this week. That's not my goal, that I give you a whole chapter this week. My goal is you'd be re-inspired to love again the way he wants to be loved, and love each other the way, again, that you want to be loved. Love as you want to be loved, right? It's inspiration. Go read the rest yourself. I'll pick up, you know. The Dear John letter is just going to talk about crazy things coming up. It's the one you're going to finish today. It's going to talk about recognizing people who are false in their faith and needing the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's important stuff. There's a lot of fake people that try to take this as a job in a popularity contest, and they spit all sorts of books out and things out, and you got to analyze that and go, is that truth? Sold 4,000 books. That doesn't matter. Is it truth? How do you know? How do you know if something's authentically God or not? Spend time with him, and then you'll recognize him. If you want to know something's fake, spend time with the real thing. You know, counterfeit. I think Dr. Heidi talks about this all the time, too. The way that you can see counterfeit money, what they have people do is they study the real thing so much that it's easy to spot counterfeit. What if that was our Christian experience? We spent with authentic time with God so much ourselves that we could actually begin to spot through the Holy Spirit what's authentic and what's not. Because, I know him. There's been so many times someone will say something to me, God said this to me. And I'll go, sounds like him. Yeah, he said that to me before. In that same tone. Very good. And there's times someone say, God told me this. And I go, you better pray. That don't sound like God to me. In the word, that don't sound like God. And the consequences of what that could come out don't sound like God. Don't sound like God. I know you want it real bad. But does it sound like God? So read the rest of that about the Holy Spirit's importance in our lives and taking in truth. My encouragement is this morning, live your now. It's what you got. And pour everything into love, everything you got. Pour it into God like you've never poured it in this year. Make him the most center that he's ever been in your life this year. And like Dr. Heidi says this all the time, If Pastor Sean will do that, then I know I'm next. So who's next? After you pour all the love that you have into God his way this year, who's next? Pour it into them. Who's after that? Pour it into them. Who's after that? Pastor. And pour it into them. I don't know where I'm at in your life, but I'll take some love. If you got some after the fifth person, you're like, I got extra love. Where do I give it? Just throw it this way. I'll take it. You stand with me for a second. Living like Jesus is actually our Lord is really hard. Right? Living with a Lord over our lives is not an easy thing. Sometimes some of us are stubborn. And remembering that light actually wins when we win is easily forgotten. Pray this year that New Season Christian Fellowship would fall in love again. We would be writing a Dear John letter this season. At our hardest season, we'd be writing our own Dear John letter. We'd be receiving one from God. And not the kind that says, your fault, see ya. But you've done so many things to show me you love me, I just got to tell them back to you. Lord, I pray New Season Christian Fellowship would not only fall in love, but Lord, we'd pass it out so liberally this year that we'd chase darkness out of our city, out of our homes. Lord God, we would be the impact you want us to be because we're so full of the right stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.